Welcome to the Cult of the Clock Tower. I am Andrew Nathanson. Every other week, a special guest and I have an in-depth discussion about a character from the game Blood on the Clock Tower. Today's character is the Zombul, a demon from the Bad Moon Rising Edition, whose ability reads, "Each night, if no one died today, choose a player, they die. The first time you die, you live, but register as dead." Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Zombul episode. That's right, it's the Zombul episode. And joining me is Kohav. Hey, Kohav.
Hello, Andrew. It's great to be here.
How are you doing?
I'm feeling pretty good. Excited to talk about this one. Overall, had a good morning, and I'm ready to think a lot about Blood on the Clock Tower.
That's how it goes. So you've been on the show a couple times in the past, maybe like three times or something?
Yeah, I think so.
Do you remember what the last episode you were on is?
Yeah, I do. I looked it up before this. I was just most recently on Exorcist, I think, at the very beginnings of Bad Moon Rising.
Yes, so it's been a little while, but feel free to look, go back and listen to that if you want to hear more from Kohav. But today we're talking about the Zombul. I think this might be the last one we're covering for the season, actually.
So, okay.
Or, well, the last, like, main character, you know, non-traveler, non-other episode, but...
I feel like that's very apropos for the Zombul to sort of be, you know, the last one, the one it takes the longest to get through.
That is true. Yeah. So, Zombul, we'll just go right into the first how to run the Zombul. This is the demon that, of course, is a zombie, so when they die for the first time, they don't actually die, but they look like they do.
Yeah.
And they don't actually die until the second time you execute them. I mean, it's a kind of strange ability with the whole registers as dead thing, because that's a unique effect in the game, so it's useful to know some things about that, but for the most part, you just treat them as though they are dead, but you still wake them when the Zombul would wake. Of course, the Zombul doesn't wake after anyone died during the day, whether that's by execution or like if a tinker died during the day, that would stop the Zombul from waking. Or if you're running a custom script with a witch or something, that could also stop the Zombul from waking. So there's a lot of ways that they wouldn't actually get to wake. But that kind of balances it out so that the kill rate of this demon is the same as the others, because you have to kill them twice, but they get to kill roughly half as often.
Exactly. Yeah, so for common mistakes, I would just say, you know, if this is your first time running the Zombul, treat their first death as you would any townsfolk or minion dying. Just announce they've died. You can ask the players to flip over their town square token. And for any good player abilities, like the Chambermaid, they can no longer select the Zombul.
Yeah, and that's pretty much it. You don't do anything special if they later become drunk. I know that's something people have been confused about, is like, yeah, if they later become drunk or poisoned, you don't, like, flip their life token back or
anything. Don't flip their token back over. Yeah. You know they're drunk, but the players don't. And it's sort of like the town square is like what the players know about the game. Yeah, otherwise, the Mastermind only triggers when the Zombul has their second death. So the Mastermind will not trigger twice in a Zombul game.
That's right. That's because the Mastermind has the ending the game clause.
Exactly.
So
exactly.
Even though the Zombul registers as dying to them the first time. Although it's a little bit weird because, like, technically with the Zombul already registering as dead, the second time they don't register as dying to the Mastermind. So it's kind of just like a weird edge case that you just have to know.
Yeah.
I'm not actually sure there's a way that you can derive the correct ruling of the Mastermind with Zombul from just a strict reading of the rules.
But if you think about it a little bit, it makes sense.
Yeah.
And then the last common mistake I have is there's this pretty big conception in Blood on the Clock Tower games, especially if you've only played Trouble Brewing, that when there's three players alive, that'll be the final day, and if you have two players alive, the game will be over. But in Zombul games, It's quite common to have two players left alive and a dead Zomboul somewhere, and you still play out that day because that dead Zomboul is alive. So there are technically three alive players, but the good team doesn't know that.
Yep, and that's like the one thing that they don't count as dead for is the game end condition.
Exactly, yeah. Those are the most common things I had. I'm sure we'll get into like if there's anything very complicated later, but...
yeah. Let's get into playing as the Zomboul. I think it's a fairly tricky demon to play in because it's one of the demons that has the least agency over the game. So
yeah,
that in general makes it difficult is you don't get to choose as many kills. You get to kind of react to things more slowly as there's more information. So the good team's generally going to have more information against a Zomboul. In Bad Moon Rising, there's not that much information, and that's something else I want to talk about in the storyteller section, but like, you have to be really aware of what you're up against. Any kind of ongoing information is a lot more dangerous to Zomboul than it is to other demons.
You have to pick your kills wisely because you get so few of them, you really have to make them count, basically,
yeah.
In a nutshell.
And it's also hard to play, especially if you're like new to a group that's new to Zomboul, because some groups are going to like try to double tap a Zomboul really often. Like, for some groups who are starting BMR, they're just like, well, there's this demon that might still be alive, and they'll just like double tap everyone when they kill them. And I should say, when we say double tap, we mean execute them again.
Yeah. Executing a dead
once,
body.
Then execute their dead body, which is how you have to kill Zomboul. So some groups, when they're new, they'll just be like, oh, well, there's this demon on the script. We have to execute everyone twice. That might make it easier for you as Zomboul. It might not, but you kind of have to know about that and be aware of it. And, like, how likely is the group to execute someone who died in the night? That's another thing to keep in mind, because you can always just kill yourself, which I think often is a pretty good strategy. I know that's in the notes a little bit later to talk about.
I mean, we can talk about it now. It's a very powerful strategy the first time you do it, I would say.
I think it can also be strong other times. I think there's, like...
I've been in, several games where... the Zomboul has killed themselves night two or night three, you know, and then eventually we're like, well, we've executed twice all the players that are most likely to be the Zomboul. What about this player that's been sort of suspicious all game that we just sort of trusted because they died night two or night three? They just might be the self-killing Zomboul. So I think
Yeah. It's
a really cool play if you continue to, play as a good player when you die and you don't like play as an evil dead player. Hard to explain.
I think it's something that if you set it up with intentionality, it's and you really plan a story around it, that's a lot better.
Yeah.
So if you can do something that like looks like it gains you trust, like you use a minion ability to like gain you some trust, or a minion bluff, I should say.
Yeah.
So they're like, oh yeah, I'm the, what's a good example? I'm the chambermaid. I checked them. Their wake pattern lines up or something.
Mm-hmm.
And then
or
if
the
you
gambler.
Can arrange it
I gambled them or something.
Yeah, okay. That's it. Yeah, that would be perfect. And then if you can arrange it so that you then die that next night, so after this, it seems like you've just gained some trust, that looks a lot better than you just randomly dying when there doesn't seem like much reason to have killed you. Of course, you can also do that just by claiming something powerful.
This is a very popular strategy, but don't just do it every game, because killing yourself, just like, you know, star passing to a Scarlet Woman in Trouble Brewing, right? You have a backup plan, but that doesn't mean
Yeah. You
need to use it right away, because if you force the good team to execute you, you're using up one of their executions. So, like, yes, you have an escape hole, but why not make them force you to use it instead of doing good team's work for them? So it's a balance, right? You want to do this strategy to gain trust, and it's very powerful when it works. But if it doesn't work, then you've just screwed yourself a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah. You're doing half of the good team's work for them. That's why I say it only works if it's really convincing,
mm-hmm.
and there's either enough other things to execute on later that they're not going to have time to come back to you, or they just trust you enough that they aren't going to think of coming back to you.
Yeah. when it works, it works, you know?
Yeah. it can be really hard to have to set up the thing where there's enough other good executions later. I think that's often Zomble's biggest problem is, like, if there's just... Because you really need to have a way that... So most demons, if you can make it so that, like, there are three people or something, almost no matter the game size. Well, I mean, the bigger the game, the more people you need to have potentially be suspicious. But it's a relatively small amount of the total players. Like, you could get away with there being, like, three non-evil suspicious players in a 12-player game or something. Because then the town just has lots of players to execute. All those players plus the evil players.
Yeah.
With Zomble, that doesn't really work as well, because then you have, like, half the town who is really hard to kill because you don't get to kill them. And they aren't getting executed because they aren't suspicious. So that's kind of what I see as Zomble's biggest challenge.
You have to make more good players seem possibly suspicious. Or make all the evil players seem really good so no one looks suspicious.
Right, yeah. You kind of want the town to be as, like, flat in the level of trust as possible.
Yeah, exactly.
Tea Lady's really hard to fight against, I've found, because... it might be a little... I mean, I guess they aren't necessarily that hard if you know who they are and you can just kill them right away.
But you need to know who they are, and you need to kill them correctly.
You need to know who they are, so if you miss a kill on them...
it's just so, so rough for the Zomble, because, like, what if the town's executing and, you know, executing well, and you finally get a kill, and if you kill someone who's protected... That can be devastating.
Yeah.
So Tea Lady is a really good example of that, but so is, like, Innkeeper, I would say, as well.
Yeah, I was thinking Tea Lady because they also, like, they can stop your kills, but they can also, yeah, they can kind of confirm people during the day. And unlike other demons, the town might have time to, like, even circle back to it and re-execute one of their neighbors.
Yeah.
And then at that point, even if you can kill the Tea Lady...
They've got three confirmed good players.
Yeah, so there's still two alive players who you have to kill. It can be really rough. You just have to try to find those threats and take care of them as quickly as possible, which is a lot easier said than done.
Which, maybe we should move on to the minions then, because one way to deal with that really annoying Tea Lady is if you've been blessed by your storyteller with a assassin or a godfather, and then you have to make your minion kills count too.
Yeah, minion abilities in general... can be quite good with the Zomble. I think the Mastermind is probably the worst.
Well, I don't know. I think that all the minions work quite well with the Zomble. Like, there's no minion that me as a Zomble, I'd be like, oh, I'm so upset that you are my minion.
That's true. Yeah. I think the assassin is very obvious because it's just like they can take care of the problems that you can't, or at least one of them.
Yeah.
And as long as you use that well, it's going to be really nice. The assassin, one particular play that I thought of with the assassin that I've never seen done, but I think would work really well, is if grandmother has a bluff, or you just figure out that it's not in play, have the assassin kill themselves on the same night that you kill yourself. I think that would line up really well for a grandmother bluff, and people would just never want to come back and double tap you.
That could work really well, yeah. The other thing the assassin is really good at is making it look like it's not a Zomboul game for as long as possible. If you can convince the town through your minions, through the bluffs you've chosen, through however possible, that people should be dying at night but aren't because it's a Poe and I exercise them and something, and my minion's bluffing Innkeeper, my other minion's bluffing Fool. You know, we're all making the game take longer. It could be still a Poe. We need to execute the living players. We can't waste time double tapping the dead. The longer you can control that narrative, the more people that town will have to deal with when they eventually realize it's a Zomboul game, if they have not double tapped enough people, killed enough other people twice, so that it's you and like 10 other possible Zomboul candidates once they've gotten there. So making the good team think that it's a Poe game or a Puka game can be really strong. If you can pull that off. And Assassin is really good at helping you with that.
Yeah, it's like the ideal case that you would like to get to is having the town basically execute like normal down to like final three, final four, and then only have a couple chances to execute dead players. In a bigger game, that's almost impossible to pull off. But
my favorite Zombul games have been the ones where I have been the Zombul with all my lives alive in the final two players or final three players at the end of the game, because the town just, maybe they trusted me, they trusted my information that it wasn't a Zombul game, and then they've just killed like a regular Poe game, leaving me, the Zombul with two lives, still alive. So those are like the most fun sweeps, I think. But those are pretty rare.
I think that's also kind of comes down to something that is a little bit of a problem with the Zombul, which is, I mean, I don't want to say a problem. It's not the worst thing, but like I think the Zombul does have the, like, it's the hardest demon to win with in Bad Moon Rising.
Yeah, I mean, it's sort of reminds me a little bit of some more advanced demons like the Leviathan, because it's limited in its killing abilities. It's limited on the mechanical impact it has on the game. So you really have to use your social skills and know how to control the game with your voice and not just with your kills. It's definitely harder.
Yeah, and I think the essential reason that's so fragile is that the Zombul's ability and doesn't do enough. It sounds like it's going to make it so that you have to kill everyone twice, but the truth is, it makes it so that typically they have to execute just a few players twice, because it's only the ones who are suspicious that have to be executed twice. So I think that makes it so that often you end up in the situation where as Zombul, you either lose or you win not having ever died. and it's like, if you ever actually get to the point where you are executed once, that's often meaning the town is, for one thing, going to have enough time to execute you again and enough reason to if they wanted to execute you once already. So I find that it's pretty rare for a Zombul to be executed once and then not get executed again. It definitely can happen, but I think it sounds like the ability is stronger than it is, because the truth is players will just, if they were suspicious enough to execute you once, they're going to do it again.
Yeah, so that's when you really have to maybe try to make a minion look super suspicious if you only have one day left, or, do anything you can, right? I have written here, once you are dead, don't stop playing. This is true for Zombul, like, the most out of anything. Like, yes, and death is not the end and ball on the clock tower, but death is just the beginning when you're the Zombul. Like, you have to still seem good. Being dead will gain you trust and allow you to get good players executed if you capitalize on that trust. And if you really go for it, if you're like, you can trust me now, see, I'm dead. Like, you have to tell me things. I want to help solve the game. Like, death isn't your, like, you can't relax. You got to keep pushing, especially when you're the Zombul.
Yeah, and I think you really got to keep, like, coming up with worlds that frame living players as being evil. And that can be really hard, because maybe there aren't any.
Then you just have to be like, I've been getting this weird vibe from them all game. I just feel like they're lying to me. I don't know why, but I really don't trust this player. Yeah, and sometimes even that can work.
I think we got a little bit sidetracked. We were talking about minion abilities.
Yes, we were.
A while ago. We're like several layers deep on the stack here. We're going to pop the stack, go back there. Okay, so we talked about Assassin. Godfather's obviously pretty similar. They're going to help you capitalize on just getting a few extra kills throughout the game, hopefully. I will say that with the Godfather, there's a couple ways you can take advantage of it. Like, you can either kind of lean into like an outsider bluff, or have at least the Godfather or some other evil player do that, because one of the worst things is if it looks a lot like a Zombul game, the town executes an outsider once, and then there's an extra kill. There's a decent chance that it's just going to look like, okay, this is a Zombul plus Godfather game.
Yeah.
And then they never have to execute the rest of those outsiders. So I do think that it can be worthwhile to add an extra outsider bluff in there, so that the town's like, okay, we think it's Zombul Godfather, but there's still an extra outsider, so we still have to keep executing them.
Yes, yeah. Zombul Godfather is more difficult for the evil team than Zombul Assassin, I think, because you have to balance. Because if the Godfather's getting a kill, you aren't, because an outsider died during the day. That's someone dying during the day. So It's more of a
It's another case where if you make it not look like a Zomble game for as long as possible, you're more likely to get away with that.
Yeah.
Because it will look less like there's a godfather in the game when
especially if you can, like, kill an evil goon or something. But it's really hard to turn a goon evil when you're the Zomble as well. So.
Right. Yeah, so Godfather, I think Godfather and Zomble, those are, like, the two minions that have the least control over when they can do things. So
two evil players, yeah.
Or the two evil players, yeah. Not minions. But, so yeah, that's going to be a balancing act every time. But it can be very good for you. It's just... you have to do a lot of work to manipulate what's going on in the
game. You have to work hard with the Godfather. But I'm still happy to get a Godfather when I'm a Zomble. Anything that lets me kill, you know, I'll take it.
Yeah. And speaking of getting you extra kills, the Devil's Advocate can do that as well. It's not as obvious, but if they ever save someone during the day, you get to kill that knight. And it's like, okay, sure, but the town didn't actually execute that player then. But they did, and the fact that they executed them and they survived and they think it could be a Devil's Advocate means they're probably going to execute them again.
Yes.
So this is the thing where it's, I think we talked about this on the Devil's Advocate episode, which was just Devil's Advocate protecting literally anyone can be good.
Yes.
Even
Devil's
if they're
Advocate,
good.
Pick good players and get them executed. It's so funny. It's so funny.
And it's especially good in a Zomble game because that's, you're not actually losing a kill there because the Zomble then gets that kill. So all it does is make good players look more suspicious.
Yeah. And I think we have to mention that, like, if you, the Zomble, kill yourself at night and your Devil's Advocate protects you, you are still protected the next day when you get executed. I guess we'll talk a little bit more about this in fighting the Zomble, but it can make it look like you've died twice when you actually haven't because you were DA protected when you killed yourself.
Yeah, so normally the Devil's Advocate can only choose living players, but if they choose you and then you kill yourself, that was they managed to choose you while you were alive, so you're protected.
Yeah. So that is something you can do with your DA that you can't really do with any of your other minions. Is it a good idea? Well,
it's another thing where if the group's experienced, they're probably going to recognize that, like, oh, this player just died in the night. Let's wait a night before killing them. You can maybe pull it off late enough in the game where it's like everyone starts to suspect you. Then you kill yourself at night and then they're like, oh, that's just a Zomble killing themselves at night. Let's kill them again. You can. That's the situation where I think you're most likely to pull it off because they don't feel like they have quite enough time to wait on executing you.
Yeah.
But then again, that requires you and your Devil's Advocate to have survived pretty late in the game. So.
Yeah. And then Mastermind. Mastermind and Zomble is one of those combinations that you'll hear a lot, but you won't see very often, just because it means the good team have to kill the demon again, and then skip or kill an evil player. And Zombules don't really kill at night as much, and on a Mastermind night, there won't be as many deaths, so it can make for a very long game. That's not to say I don't put Mastermind Zomble in my bag. I do.
But I do it pretty often.
But you have to think about what you're doing as evil. I think you've got some very good notes here for Mastermind about what bluffs can work well, because you have to explain why no one's dying when it not being a Mastermind Zomble.
Yeah, there's a few ways you can do that. There's kind of things you can, like, always do as Mastermind. Like, an Exorcist bluff can work pretty well, where not only are you explaining why there's no death, but then you're then giving a reason to execute a good player that day.
Mm-hmm.
Something like Innkeeper can work, because you can just be like, well, maybe they attacked the person I protected, and so that's at least a little bit of doubt. Courtier is a very good one, because that is explaining why there's no deaths multiple days in a row, so...
Mastermind loves Courtier. Zomble loves Courtier.
Yeah. If you need to explain an extended lack of deaths, Courtier will do that for you. But yeah, in general, if I'm the Mastermind in a Zomble game, I'm trying to pick a bluff that explains some kind of protection, because otherwise, two nights in a row of no death, when there really should be one, is really hard to explain.
But I also feel like those Mastermind Zomble wins can just be the sweetest of victories for the evil team when you can pull it off. So, very fun. Anything else to say about playing as the Zomble? I think we covered most of it.
Yeah, I wanted to say that this is kind of something that doesn't fit into any of the normal sections of the show, so I'll just say it now. bluffing as a lunatic zomble is something that I think is actually quite interesting. Because Zombul's the demon that the town kind of feels like they have the most time to deal with, as an evil player, bluffing that you're the that you figured out that you're the lunatic, and you are and the demon you saw was the Zombul, if the game has had a low enough kill rate that it's believable that it could have been a Zombul, that can really trick the town. Like maybe it is a Poe game that you've just been very like careful with your kills, and then your minion bluffs as the lunatic Zombul, you can get the town to do something like execute a dead player at just the right moment for you to then pop off and kill everyone. We had this happen in a game where I was actually the mastermind, didn't end up using my ability, but my demon was the Pooka. And I'm not sure if they actually thought they might have been the lunatic or if they were just completely bluffing this. But at some point they were like, I think I'm the lunatic. But they were smart, and instead of, even if they did think they were the lunatic, instead of saying that they were the Pooka, they said they were the Zombul. And that bought just enough confusion into it to buy us enough time to actually win.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. And also, lunatic Zombuls can come out later in the game after you're dead, because you can be like, I stopped waking up to kill. I must be the lunatic Zombul. Because the lunatic Zombul stops waking up to kill when they die one time, because they lose their lunatic ability. So it can also be a good late game pivot. If your bluff isn't working out and now you're dead, you can finally come out as the lunatic Zombul and just mess with everybody's heads.
Yep. And I said, it works especially well if if it looks like the kill rate has been just low enough that it's believable. Obviously, the lunatic doesn't have to be shown the same thing as the real demon, but a lot of the times they are. So I think it has an effect where it just makes the town sometimes think they have a little bit more time than they actually do.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. I think the Zombul is just a fun thing to put into people's heads because it stresses yeah. good team out like nothing else.
Yeah.
Is it a Zombul or is it a Poe? Yeah, sorry, let's go ahead. Yeah, there's the
Zombul-Poe dichotomy is very funny because it's like the highest kill rate demon and the lowest kill rate demon, and sometimes you can't tell them apart.
Yeah, exactly, and you really need to watch your kills.
All right, let's move to section two, fighting the Zombul. I feel like fighting the Zombul is something that you're kind of going to be doing in every Bad Moon Rising game, no matter whether you believe it is or not, because it'll either look like it's a Zombul, in which case you're going to do the Zombul-y things, or it's not going to look like the Zombul, in which case it'll be pretty obvious. Like, there's just way too many kills to explain. But, yeah, if it ever is a low kill rate game, you kind of have to keep the Zombul in mind and just really keep track of, you know, are the deaths lining up like Zombul? Is there death at night when there was no one dying during the day? And every death that does happen when someone did die during the day,
you have to
find a way to explain that. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm just going to jump to the very end here because I think that's sort of related to what you're talking about. As the good team fighting any demon in Bad Moon Rising, you sort of have to keep multiple things in your head at once. So, like, if it's a Poe, these players might be evil because their information doesn't make sense if it's a Poe. If it's a Zombul, then these people might be the demon. And then you have to remember both of those things because maybe you want to kill the people that are evil in a Poe world first because that's the most scary thing. But when you've killed them all and the game hasn't ended, then you have to remember all your thoughts about if it was a Zombul game,
right,
who the evil players were. So you can't just forget, even if you're like 75% chance it's a Poe game, you still have to keep that 25% chance. Like, this player we were all suspicious of and then they died in the night. Like, keep that in the back of your head. You can't forget that because it might be a Zombul game and then you'll need to remember everything from the beginning of the game, like whose deaths were suspicious, whose weren't, that sort of thing. And that's when it comes back up. So that's really important, finding the Zombul. Like, just keep a possibility in the back of your mind always that it could be a Zombul game.
I think that's kind of, like, it's just a more extreme version of what general good team strategy is. Like, something I'm always doing on the good team is, like, if there's someone who it's like, I need to execute you now, because if we don't execute you now, I'm going to have to execute you later. And, like, executing you, like, rules out a bunch of worlds, and I don't want to have to think about those anymore. That can be really valuable in general. And yeah, when it's Poe versus Zomble, killing the people who could be Poe first will either win you the game or confirm that it's Zomble. So yeah, that's very important. And something that I guess we could have also mentioned in the being the Zomble section is that the more other worlds you can come up with like that, where there's people who could be other demons, those people are always going to get executed before you. If the good team's following this logic, at least, because they should be more afraid of other demons in terms of just how much time they have left.
Other tips for the good team. As we mentioned, the Zomble DA shenanigans can happen, so just don't re-kill the last person that died at night. Kill them the next day again, if you think they're the Zomble, because they technically could be DA protected. In general, instead of skipping executions like you might do in Trouble Brewing, always kill a dead body. Even if you think there's no chance it's a Zomble game, just kill a dead body instead of executing no one, unless you think it's like Mastermind Day or whatever. If you think it's a Mastermind Day, just kill the person you executed yesterday, because
yeah,
they're the demon then. And if they're
yeah.
if not a Mastermind Day, then you've still eliminated a Zomble candidate. So just kill dead bodies instead of skipping, as a rule, in Bad Moon Rising. And then you might just win.
There's no reason not to. No reason to skip when you could execute a dead body. One thing that's kind of related to that I think can be interesting is if you do get to the point where you're not really sure who to execute, but you still think you want, like, you don't really think it's a Zomble, but you might want to still float the idea of just executing a dead body and just see which dead bodies the other players are most likely to, or most willing to execute.
It's just another kind of... See which dead people are most willing to die.
Exactly, yeah. And so, like, you don't have to necessarily actually go through with it, but just acting like you are willing to go through with it can give you information. If there's a particularly vocal person who's like, no, we need to execute this dead body instead of that one, that can tell you information.
Oh, yeah. Very interesting information, too. Or if you're like, we should execute a dead body today, and someone else immediately nominates a dead body so you don't get to talk about which one you should kill. Think about that.
Yeah, that's another thing that is just kind of a general thing you can always do, is just like do executions to see how people react, or do nominations to see how people react. But yeah, with the dead bodies, you can kind of float it over multiple of them and gauge multiple reactions.
The last tip I have for the good team is just, so sometimes there's this meta in Trouble Brewing or even Sex and Violets that being willing to get yourself executed is something that good players do. Like, you know, the quote unquote top four abilities, like basically on the first night abilities, are willing to get themselves executed, and the demon wouldn't be willing to do that. That's not true anymore. Being willing to die is no longer a sign that someone is good when Zomble is on your script. And being dead does not clear people from suspicion, because they could be the once dead Zomble. So if you're like asking for volunteers and people volunteer to die, that doesn't mean they're good anymore. Just remember that. That meta no longer applies.
Be really wary of, one thing I've seen a lot is Zombles who claim to be fool, and then they're like, you can just execute me on the first day, and then they die, and then they're like, well, how did that happen?
Or sailors, you can do the same thing.
Yeah, sailors a little bit harder to tell, because maybe they did just die.
Yeah.
But fool, I for some reason I've seen it a lot with fool, and it's actually, I found, pretty easy to catch a Zomble doing that, because you have to explain why they died, and there's just that many reasons.
The so only reason I can think of is they got puka poison on the first night, which does explain why no one dies the next night, but then
there's the rest of the game.
Fighting the Zomble, count the deaths. Like, experienced players can usually, there's just this feeling you get when you're in a Zomble game where it's like, no one's dying. It's gotta be Zomble.
And like, and really it's the demon that you have to, I think, like, spend the least time thinking about fighting, because, well, not necessarily, but like we were saying, you should prioritize the other demons first. You have to rule out the worlds where you're going to die sooner than the ones where you're going to die later.
Yeah.
All right, let's move on to section 3, which is running the Zomble as the storyteller. We can get into some of the technical stuff, but I actually first want to talk about just, like, Zombul is the weakest demon on BMR, so you need to support them. That would be my opening statement.
Yeah, I've been the Zombul in games that are stacked against me, and it's just, your social game can only take you so far. Sometimes with enough time, good team can just mechanically solve the game with the stronger roles on the script.
So I would think about what I put in with it.
This is the demon where you have to think about what's going in the bag with it. You really have to think.
The powerful townsfolk can just, if they have enough time, they can really kind of stomp on it. In particular, there's a couple that I wanted to call out, or three that I want to call out. There's the Tea Lady, Gambler, and Professor. Those are the three that I've seen be particularly difficult for Zombul to deal with.
Strong agree.
You might think Chambermaid because it's ongoing info, but also there will often come a point in a Chambermaid game where, like, if you just bluff things that line up with your actual kill rates, and they have to choose alive players, so once you're, like, dead, they can't choose you anymore. I haven't found Chambermaid to be as much of an issue, because it's often just like, okay, well, we know these people are waking as they claim to be.
The other problem with a Chambermaid in a Zombul game is you might have 7 or 8 nights of information, and you just won't remember it all.
That's true.
The Chambermaid is only as good at fighting the Zombul as they are at remembering all the nights of info and exactly like when they choose who, and that's just much harder to remember than we executed my neighbor twice and they didn't die, we're all good.
Right. Yeah. So Tea Lady we already talked about a little bit. That just creates 3 confirmed players if they manage it. And even if they don't manage it, like, completely, if they even get one of their neighbors executed and they survive, like, how are you stopping that, a Zombul? By killing the Tea Lady, probably?
Yeah.
And then, like, even though there's not, like, a hard mechanical confirmation at that point, like, players are going to go back to that. The Gambler is really tough because they can confirm many, many good players, and then eventually they die, and especially if they die when somebody else died during the day, it's going to be like, okay, well, you had to have died to your own ability. So that's just like a much stronger version of the Gambler where they can be more certain about how they died.
Yep.
And they just have more time in general to keep getting info. And then Professor is also fairly oppressive because it's like, all right, say you did take out that Tea Lady and then the Professor just brings them back, or any other character, or if the Professor brings the Gambler back. Like, these three in combination are especially bad.
I remember a game where I was the Zombul, and the Professor brought the Gambler back, and they just went around and confirmed every single good player.
Yeah, that can happen. So you have to be really careful with these together. Professor on its own even is quite strong, because if they bring someone back, that's confirming themselves, because it's going to be pretty obviously not a Shabaloth game most of the time, right?
Yep.
So they're confirming themselves and that player as not someone you need to execute anymore. And, I mean, if you think about it, that's 2 players. If this is a low player count game and the Professor manages that, 2 players is really hard for the Zombul to deal with.
Yeah, because every player isn't just 1 life anymore. You want to see if you can get 2 executions out of every single other player.
Yep.
And if 2 is now 0 because they're confirmed to be good, then that severely limits the amount of executions that you can get that aren't you.
Yeah, so those 3, like, obviously you can put them in with Zombul, right? But I would be wary about putting too many of them in. And I would try to maybe do that in games where there's ways to kill them off as needed. Like, put them in with a gossip who might be killing some of them. Put them in with the assassin. That kind of thing. But,
in general, like,
yeah.
I try to put at least 1 character that can also kill into my Zombul games. Usually 2. So I'll try to put maybe a Moonchild or a Tinker or Gossip, Assassin. You know, just like maybe 2 out of those. Just to get a little more death. Because another thing about Zombul games, which I'm sure we'll get into a little bit more as a storyteller, is they're longer. If you can put a few extra tokens into the bag that cause some death, that will also help the game progress at a pace where people are not just solving the game because they have so much time to talk.
Yeah, and it's one of those things where you might be a little bit worried about players metaing you as the storyteller, where it's like, oh, they wouldn't do a zombie game without some extra ways to kill. But that's not such a bad thing, because you are giving an advantage to the evil teams by doing this, by making it so that the zombie isn't stuck as often. And so even if you get metaed a little bit, it's like, it's still okay, because it's more important for you to give them the tools they need to succeed than it is to not have players meta you, because...
Yeah. And then sometimes you can just put all the good killing rolls in the bag and then put in a Poe and be like, oh, they're like, we've got Gossip, we've got the Moonchild and the Tinker. Oh, we gotta have a Zombul. There's no way this much killing power would be in and then just put a Poe in the bag and see everyone die.
Yep. Like, yep. You can do that.
Yeah, and probably my favorite character to put in the bag with a Zombul is the Tinker, just because the Tinker solves so many problems the Zombul creates as a storyteller. I really like to kill the Tinker early, maybe the first night the Zombul gets a kill, killing the Tinker, so there's two deaths, or if the Zombul doesn't get to kill early and I don't want the town to figure it out yet, I'll just kill off the Tinker. It just adds that extra bit of ambiguity in the demon type that the Zombul is searching so hard for.
Yeah, definitely.
Don't kill them during the day.
Yeah, don't. That's the time you should absolutely not do that. Even if there's a godfather, still don't do that.
Yeah.
I think Tinker's also kind of an interesting Zombul bluff, because... And again, this requires, like, maybe, like, give the Tinker plus some protection rolls as bluffs, because then you can coordinate a thing where it's like, okay, one evil player is claiming they protected someone at night, and then the Tinker dies on the night the Zombul could kill.
And that's the Zombul killing themselves, to be clear.
Yeah, it's kind of it's a convenient way for the Zombul to kill themselves at night in a way that players could believe, where it's like, yeah, okay, the storyteller would use the Tinker to, like, cover up this,
yeah.
This lack of death in the night.
Exactly. So shall we talk a bit about how the Zombul power changes with player count you've got written here?
Yeah, I think it's kind of an interesting thing to think about. I'm not sure how it changes with player count myself. I've mostly played it in lower player counts. Haven't tried running like a 15-player Zombul game.
You should try. Just
yeah, I don't get 15-player games that often, but yeah, I don't have anything against it. I just actually haven't done that yet. So I was curious if you had any thoughts on that. I feel like in general it's probably weaker with larger games because there's more time, but
yeah.
I don't know if that's true.
There's more time is pretty much sums it up. So I usually see Zombuls in the bag in smaller games more, just because when you put the Zombul in a 13, 14, or 15-player game, the Zombul increases the game length, more players increases the game length, so you really have to have a storyteller who knows what they're doing in terms of monitoring your day length and stuff, because if you think that a Zombul game can sometimes drag, if it's a 15-player Zombul game, and you've got an unexperienced storyteller running it, that can really drag. But other than that, I think in a larger game, you just have to make sure there's more good players that are suspicious, because every good player that's added is more executions, but only if they're suspicious. So I think Zombul plays just fine balance-wise at 15. I just think that's when your storytelling skills need to be on point.
Yeah, that's just in general running faster games with Zombul. It's kind of one of those things where it's like that might be a tell that it's a Zombul game, but also just like anytime there's not a lot of people dying, regardless of the reason, you're going to start speeding up the game a little bit. So
yeah. And what do we mean when we say speed up the game? There's like a few ways you can actually do this, so maybe we should get into that.
Yeah, let's do that.
Storytellers, make sure you run up your games faster if no one's dying at night. So you can do this by running faster nights. If you just eventually you'll just memorize who is what because you are running so many nights, and then you can run faster nights because you don't have to keep checking the night order.
Keep in mind that when players die, though, you don't wake them anymore, because I've made that mistake before. It's like,
yeah.
I'm so used to like every night I go to the chambermaid, I wake them up last, and then. And then I do that after they're dead, and they're like, what?
Yeah, I have done that too. Definitely woken woken the dead players I shouldn't have, but we've all done that. Also, there's a couple ways you can speed things up during the day. Firstly, if you usually let people whisper and then do talking time and then do nominations, if no one's getting up to whisper, just open nominations right away. Like if in the first 30 seconds of the day, if no one's whispering, they're ready to nominate, right? The third thing is being strict in your final calls for nominations and your final vote, your final countdowns. You can make them stricter, you can make them faster. You can be like, I need a nomination in the next 5 seconds or you're going to bed and no one's getting executed. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Okay, no one was executed, go to sleep.
This is where I think that John Jengset's storytelling style is really nice, which is the way he runs nominations is basically as soon as someone's nominated, he'll just go ask that person, do you want to defend yourself? He doesn't leave any time for group discussion or like accusation or anything. And the reason is like the group has had all day to discuss who they want to execute. So in theory, they could have talked about that. And especially if they know you run it like this, they'll just talk about that before they make the nomination.
Yeah. Don't allow crosstalk during nominations. Yeah, that can take so much time.
I think it's important in general to allow the group to discuss during nominations.
Mm-hmm.
But basically, if it's very clear that the group has already said everything they're going to say, when someone makes the nomination, just be like, okay, do you want to say anything to defend yourself? And then other people can say something if they feel like they really need to, and like you don't stop them from saying that. But just like, I feel like a lot of storytellers, especially who play online a lot, get caught up in kind of the formal process of like, all right, someone makes a nomination, accusation, defense. And then the players, when you put them in that framework, they feel like they have to say something. And that's just going to drag things out. And they'll say they've said everything they need to say.
Sometimes I'll say, is there anything else you'd like to add? And if they say, I'll be like, all right, everything's been said. what do you have to say in your defense? Like if you phrase it as, is there anything you'd like to add? The players are aware it's only about new stuff. If there's no new stuff, we're just going to run the nomination.
Yeah, I think that's totally good. The important thing is always give the player a chance to defend themselves. That's what's written in the rule book. Nothing else about the nomination phase is essential. Like you can basically run the rest of it however you want, giving anyone in the group a chance to discuss. But like the essential thing is the player who's nominated gets a chance to defend themselves, and then you run the vote.
Usually, when I run, I won't allow anyone to talk during the defense, but I will allow as much talk as they want when my hand is moving around the circle. I feel like this creates the most like tense atmosphere of being like, raise your hand. No, it's because of this. You have to do this, blah, 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 blah. And it also makes sure that everyone hears the defense and the accused player feels like they've had people listening to them.
Yeah, definitely.
But yeah, tightening up your nominations and voting phase can really help speed things up in a Zomboule game.
Something else I've seen recently in my games, and I need to start changing how I react to it to fix this, is players will like make a last call for nominations, and someone will just throw out a random random nomination, and then when like they have a chance to speak, they're like, oh, I just wanted more time to discuss.
I think, as a player. I'm guilty of
it. So I think it's fine to do it as a player, but I think as a storyteller, when somebody says that, the correct thing to say is, okay, we're starting the vote.
Yeah, 100%. Because, like, as a general rule, more time helps the good team, and faster days help the evil team. This isn't always true. During day one, it's good to get more time can help the evil team coordinate bluffs and stuff.
Yeah.
But as it approaches the end of the game, the faster the days, the less time good has to put all the information on the table and really think about how to solve the puzzle. And the downfall of many Zomboule games I have seen is just the days are all pretty long, and because there's less deaths, good team has overall more time, and they really sit down and they just think about it real hard and they figure it out. Don't give your players the chance to do that. You want to give good team as much thinking time as they would have had if it was a Shabaloth or a Puka game or a Poe game. You don't want to give them extra time to solve the game.
Yeah. All right. I think that's about everything we had in the notes here. Was there anything else you wanted to touch on before we end?
Zomboule gets a lot of hate. And Well, it is definitely one of the weaker demons. It's still pretty cool.
I thought you were going to say, while it's definitely deserved.
No,
I don't think it's
not
deserved,
deserved.
But I thought that's what you were saying, which would have been very funny.
Zombul is like, sometimes we forget how much the presence of Zombul on the script completely changes every game of Bad Moon Rising you'll ever play. And I feel like that's the hallmark of a really interesting Blood on the Clock Tower character.
I can understand, though, being frustrated playing it sometimes. Like, I feel bad for Zombul players sometimes. So it's like, I do wish it were somehow a little bit more powerful, but it, I don't know, it's pretty good anyway. You just gotta support it as much as you can as the storyteller.
Yeah, yeah. I'm glad the Zombul is where it is. I think it's found its home script.
That's true. It definitely doesn't fit in most other scripts.
Doesn't fit in most other scripts.
Well, thank you for being on the episode, Kohav.
Thanks for having me, Andrew. It was great to be back. I love talking about this game.
Well, thanks to everyone for listening. You can hear episodes of this show every other week, more or less, sometimes less recently, but hopefully more in the future. That's all I have to talk about. Cool. All right, bye.